Father Nathan's traveling in Southern California, so it's my privilege to lead the service and give the homily today. I think of it as sort of a New Year's homily, and I love the way the gospel and the epistle fit together today. You know, I love to guess what the theme is that and why the saints put those two readings together. And this week, my conclusion is that they both tell about unusual interventions and revelations of God to people in times of need. St. Paul, remember, was busy going around the Near East trying to catch Christians and persecute them, and he got knocked off his horse by a blinding light, a vision of the uncreated light of God on his way into Damascus. And he recites about that in today's epistle. St. Joseph, the betrothed, had some unusual needs, and he had a series of three dreams at a crucial point in the history of the gospel. And these unusual interventions, first he was told he should marry the Virgin Mary. Second, he was told it was time to leave for Egypt before they got caught up in the persecution. And then it was time to go home. I know one or two people who have had unusual visions of the Virgin Mary or something else, and who have found it very transformative in their lives. It's not my experience, and probably not most people's. So it made me reflect a little on what the normal revelations of God to us are. What are His usual ways of communicating to us? Are we taking advantage of them and His purpose in them? We could make a simple list of the normal ways God reveals Himself to us, as in Scripture itself, the united witness of the saints and the church interpreting the Scripture, the lives of the saints, the icons that we venerate, the love of our family, the beauty of creation around us. That's one I love. God is communicating to us all the time. We're part of something far bigger than ourselves, far bigger than the United States of America and our economy or the media culture that seems to drive life along and dominate everything around us. Today, I'd like to focus on one other way that God reveals Himself to us. And you probably enter into it sometimes, but maybe not as often as we could. And that is the prayers of the church. Now, on the surface, a prayer is what? It's you and me and all of us together in the worship communicating something to God. Requests, concerns, our hopes, our fears, our praise to God, our love for others and our hope for their salvation. The prayers of the Orthodox Church are meant, of course, to do that. But they're meant to do something else, and that is to educate us about the God who has revealed these prayers to the saints and caused the fathers and mothers of the church to gradually distill the experience of walking with God into prayers that educate us while they draw us in the right direction. While we say the words of these prayers, we are meant to be absorbing these words and being changed in our hearts. Metropolitan Anthony of Syros wrote a book, Courage to Pray, and on almost the last page, he reminds us that the prayers are there, of the church are here, not just to express the collective desire of God's people for the salvation of all things, but they're there to educate us. Father Michael Kaiser, you remember him? He was a friend of Father David Barr, a mentor of Father David Barr's, and he was actually the head of the Antiochian Department of Evangelism and Missions for years. Here's what he wrote in his book, A Beginner's Guide to Prayer. The life of God's church has been enriched by many holy people before us, and it is foolish and arrogant to ignore what they say. At the first level of prayer, it's important that we be rooted in the mind of the church. Using prayers that have been hallowed by time and use is one of the ways we do that. Otherwise, we're in danger of wandering away from sound doctrine, developing our own religion as we go. It is amazing how quickly this can happen. Nothing can color our image of God like the words that we use to communicate with Him. And we can wind up worshiping a God that is a far cry from the one revealed in the faith and in Scripture. Using written prayers that have been tested against the teaching of the church can help us to keep sound doctrine so that we, I love this concluding phrase, so that we do not wind up worshiping ourselves. There was a day in our community a couple of decades ago when I think we were worshiping ourselves. And we had to learn that that's not what we were supposed to be worshiping here at all, but rather the living God. What do the prayers of the Orthodox Church teach us about the heart of God? How does it educate us? That there's a God of immeasurable mercy who's always ready with more when we pray, "All the Lord have mercies in our service." That there's a God of compassion. Remember the Litany of Peace. We're praying for the peace of the whole world, for the holy churches of God, for the sick, the suffering, captives, their salvation. God's focus is on the redemption of all things. And when we come together to pray, yes, we bring the petty preoccupations of our lives, the things that concern us in the news media, about our world, about our society, about important events that affect us all. But we're meant to bring them here, not to keep them intact, but to have them transformed by the educational power of God's Holy Spirit. As we pray the words together with God's people, not in a mindless way, hopefully, although they are repetitious from week to week, but in a way that draws us in to the agenda of the living God for the salvation of all things. There's a prayer at the end of, early in Orthros that gets said silently by the priest. I love to quote it whenever I get a chance. Forgive me. "We praise thee, we hymn thee, we bless thee, we give thanks unto thee, O God of our fathers, that thou hast brought us in safety through the shades of night, and shown unto us once again the light of day. And we entreat of thy goodness, be gracious unto our sins, receive our prayer in thy great tenderness. For if we flee unto thee, the merciful and almighty God, illumine our hearts with a true sun of thy righteousness, enlighten our minds, guard all our senses, that walking uprightly as in the day in the way of thy commandments, we may attain unto life eternal. For with thee is the fountain of life, and may graciously be vouchsafed to come into the fruition of the light unapproachable. For thou art a God," and it concludes. Saint Nikon says this about the prayers of the church. "During prayer, it is not beneficial to strive for exalted feelings. One should only discern the meaning of the words pronounced, pray attentively, and then with time, the Lord will grant spiritual insight and heartfelt contrition." The words if we pray them with attention, the Holy Spirit draws us in to the heart and the agenda of God. How wonderful it would be for the new year if we were inspired to come to church, to pray the words together with joy, with a seeking of light, having gone through the darkness, the physical or literal darkness of the night, to come once again in the light of day and ask God to shed more and more light in our hearts, in our community, in those around us. How inspiring it would be if we could have a hope and a prayer for the new year. May it be that we'll pray and be transformed by God as we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.